According to the principles of pagan philosophy, the idea of a bodily resurrection was quite unthinkable. Paul knew that from his own experience in Athens, where his message had been fairly well received until he began to speak about Christ being raised from the dead. Then the Athenians had rejected the gospel, and there had been few conversions in the city. The same danger existed in Corinth. So when Paul heard that some Corinthian believers had been influenced by teaching that denied the resurrection, he reacted at once. If it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, he writes in his first letter to the Corinthians, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? Paul reminds his readers of what he had taught when he was with them. What I received, I passed on to you as of the greatest importance, he writes, that Christ died for our sins and was buried, and that he was raised on the third day, according to the scriptures. Paul then enumerates the list of all the men who had been eyewitnesses of the Lord's resurrection. Christ had appeared to the Apostle Peter, then to the 12, and after that to more than 500 believers at the same time. He had been seen by James, then by all the apostles, and last of all he had appeared to Paul himself. If there is no resurrection of the dead, he says, then not even Christ has been raised. If this is so, our preaching is futile, your faith is vain, and we have become false witnesses about God. You are still in your sins, and those who are dead in Christ are lost. If for this life only we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. But, says Paul, Christ has indeed been raised, the first from among the dead. Having firmly established this fundamental principle, Paul then develops his teaching about the resurrection. Since death came through a man, he says, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. In Adam all die, in Christ all will be made alive, but each in his own turn. Christ first of all, then when he comes, those who belong to him. The end will come when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father, having overcome all his enemies. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. Paul uses images to help his readers understand the implications of the resurrection, which will not be a mere continuation of the believer's present physical life. The resurrected body will be to the natural body what the full-grown plant is to the grain that produced it. The plant that grows is not the seed that was sown, even though it came from it. The grain, when it dies in the ground, produces the type of plant ordained by God, who has created an infinite variety of species in nature. He has given to men, animals, birds, and fish different kinds of flesh. Even the heavenly bodies, sun, moon, and stars, differ in radiance. Paul implies that if in this creation there is such diversity, will there not be even greater differences with the resurrection? The spiritual or resurrection body will be infinitely superior to the natural one. Like the seed that is sown, the body that is buried is perishable. It is sown in dishonor and weakness, but is raised in glory and power. It is buried a physical body and raised a spiritual one. It is not the spiritual that comes first, but the physical, and after that the spiritual. Therefore, as we have borne the likeness of the earthly man, so shall we bear the likeness of the man from heaven. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, and what is mortal cannot possess immortality. When Christ returns, Paul says, we will not all die, but we will all be changed. In the twinkling of an eye, at the sound of the last trumpet, the dead in Christ will be raised, and those who are still alive will be changed. For what is perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and what is mortal must put on immortality. Then the scripture will come true, which says, death has been swallowed up in victory. Thanks be to God, says Paul, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Having this hope, he urges his readers to stand firm in the faith. Let nothing move you, he says. Give yourselves entirely to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Next episode, Paul's second epistle to the Corinthians.